of the wants of the times. The Bible translations is certainly a big one. And I'm just going to read here quick the five things that Ryle had in his book as what he saw in his day as the wants of the times. He said, one, we need a bold and unflinching maintenance for the entire truth of Christianity and the divine authority of the Bible. Two, we need distinct and decided views of Christian doctrine. Three, we need an awakened and livelier sense of the unscriptural and soul-ruining character of Romanism. Four, we need a higher standard of personal holiness and an increased attention to practical religion in our daily life. Five, we need a more regular and steady perseverance in the old ways of getting good for our souls. So we need a bold, unflinching maintenance for the entire truth of Christianity and the divine authority of the Bible. And that's kind of what Noah was just touching on. One of the ways that this is attacked more than any other at this present time is through the Bible versions. We have so many of these versions and translations that, as Noah was just pointing out, question the divinity of Christ. And then his last point, his fifth point, was we need a more regular and steady perseverance in the old ways of getting good for our souls. And again, here he's talking about, as Noah was saying, the old paths. And the one thing that Ryle was mentioning in his book was just how much outward Christianity there was, but there wasn't that inward personal prayer in Bible study. And that's what he was talking about as the old ways. So if you're going to take these five things and boil them down to syrup, the flavor would be more heart religion. And that's really what we need in every age. It has been the purpose of the devil as long as the world has been to destroy the people of God. If he can, he will completely deceive you. If not, he will distract you. And if we would be people who understand the times, as the children of Issachar did at the time of David, we need to be familiar with how to fight the devil on his most successful fronts. How is the devil, where is he wreaking the most havoc on Christianity? We need to be familiar with that and know how to counter it by the Word of God. And these five things that Ryle saw in his day, though they have changed, they are the underlying war that he was fighting, we are still fighting in every way. Even he mentions the Catholic Church. The Catholic Church isn't such a threat to us specifically as it was to him, but the underlying legalism still is. We still fight legalism just as much as he did. It's just in a different form. One of the things that I see sweeping into the church all over is Judaism. How many people do you know that just quit recently eating pork and started keeping a Saturday Sabbath and whatnot? Because they're going back to Judaism. And that is a battle that we must fight. So the one thing that Ryle has here is he says, a higher standard of personal holiness and an increased attention to practical religion in our daily life. Ryle said that the whole tone of Christianity seemed lowered from what it was in years before him. And now, I think Ryle would be utterly shocked if we were able to bring him into what we see as Christianity today. He mentioned five things that he saw as telling to the state of religion. Card playing, theater going, dancing, incessant novel reading, and Sunday traveling. Let me say those things again. These are things that Ryle saw in his day that pointed to a downward trend in Christianity. Card playing, theater going, dancing, incessant novel reading, and Sunday traveling. And I'm not going to go into detail on what I believe on all these things. But just think about it. Today, when we find a church that lives up to this standard, we appreciate it. We find them the cream of the crop. We stay away from the professing Christians that sleep around and get drunk and do drugs. Card playing is a given. Nobody questions that these days. Today we have Christians that go into an ungodly atmosphere of a bar with loud music and the smell of alcohol to entertain themselves by rolling a ball down a lane or some other thing. And as long as they don't participate in the alcohol, that's fully acceptable. How much farther down is that from what Ryle was saying? People played cards. And cards just have a little bit of an association with gambling. I think Ryle would be shocked. I have nothing wrong with throwing a ball down a lane. But there is no amount of entertainment that is worth exposing yourself to an ungodly atmosphere for. Psalm 1:1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What does that mean to you? Theater going is what conservative Christians do these days. Most Christians take movies that the world gives a bad rating and bring them into their home and play them. Whatever happened to taking Psalm 101 verse 3 practically, where David says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. This is an error of the day. We are living in a day where there is an outbreak of looseness in Christianity. Standards don't matter. And if we would stop it, we must get back to the Bible. We need to go back to the Sermon on the Mount. We need to go back to the last few chapters of every one of Paul's epistles where he gives practical application for daily life. And I will add one thing that is vital and absolutely necessary is we need a bolder cry against open sin. Never in the history of America has sin been so openly accepted and praised as it is today. Christians have become desensitized to sin by Hollywood and the media. We hardly realize how sinful sin is because we are so accustomed to seeing it. And the only hope for Christianity at large is that we would stand up and boldly proclaim the sinfulness of sin. Christians have slowly become accustomed to the degraded state of our society. And we need to shock them back to reality by proclaiming the truth in simplicity. I dare say that if you took an infidel from 150 years ago and brought him to our culture today, dropped him into our churches, he would be shocked at the way girls dress in our churches today. What man 150 years ago would have thought that a day was coming when it was acceptable for a girl to go swimming in a two-piece swimsuit? But now, to make it worse, professing Christians go to those beaches and dress that way. Fashion magazine, Modern Girl magazine, a fashion magazine in 1957, stated that it is hardly necessary to waste words over the so-called bikini, since it is so inconceivable that any girl with tact and decency would ever wear such a thing. This is the world speaking in 1957. And now Christians have become so desensitized by Hollywood and other forms of the media that they don't even think about it. We are losing the battle unless Christians will stand up and boldly proclaim the sinfulness of sin. We need to shock Christians back to reality by holding up the standard of the Bible. Boldly, unashamedly. Today, Christians, we Christians, walk as closely to this line as we think we can get away with. And such dress should be so shocking to us that we can't help but speaking out. Yet Christian leaders dare not speak against it. We live in a world where it is common for people to shack up. We don't think of it as abnormal anymore. It has become so commonplace that when professing Christians do it, their church prays for them in manners like, God, help them grow. What? There aren't very many churches left where such people get prayed for, as in, God, save them before they go to a place of eternal fire. Christians feed themselves on so much immorality in the novels they read, the movies they watch, the music they listen to, that when it comes to real life, they have to force themselves to see these things as sin because they're so accustomed to it as being natural. We need Christians to feed so much on the Word of God that when they see a friend living in fornication, it makes them want to puke. Even me, I can stand here and I can preach what the Bible says today because I believe this is the inspired Word of God. Yet, I desperately need revival. I need to enter into the heart of God to where the sin, the thought of sin, makes me sick. In our society, we hear God's name used in vain so frequently that we get used to it. Christians get on YouTube and watch videos where God's name is used in vain because the video is funny and entertaining. And they laugh at the joke and they don't weep before God when His name is blasphemed. Think for a moment now. Is that an acceptable state of Christianity? Have we not lost something? 150 years ago, the world had enough respect not to use God's name in vain. Today, professing Christians will use God's name as an interjection into their sentences just to add emphasis. And they justify it. Have they never read Exodus 20, verse 7? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Do they not know what vain means? Vain just simply means empty. Do you realize that it is a serious matter to Almighty God for someone to use His name without a purpose? He says, you're guilty of death if you use my name without a purpose. That is the standard of holiness of the God that we serve. He needs to be thought of and addressed and spoken of in reverence. When you walk into a dark room on a sunny day, it takes a while before you can see. But in a moment, you'll be used to the dark. Christians do spend so much time looking in the darkness of the world around them, in the forms of entertainment that they enjoy, the people that they hang around as friends. They spend so much time looking at the darkness that they've become accustomed to it. But we need Christians to spend so much time looking into the Word of God that it hurts, that we, I guess, that the darkness around us would shock us every time we see it and hear it. It should be a shock to our ears every time we hear God's name used in vain. It should be a shock to us every time we hear about a couple living in immorality. Every single time. We need to be so absorbed in the Word of God and feel His heart. Read the Word and let your eyes adjust to the light. And then when you look at the world, you will see just how sinful it is. We need people who have prepared their heart, as Ezra did. Ezra 7:10 reads, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." Have you ever considered doing something that you had to think it through, you had to prepare yourself for how much work it was going to be? You knew you could do it if you actually decided to, but you had to think. You had to really think it through for a long time to come to that decision and actually decide to do it. I was over at Noah's Mary's on Thursday. Chet White was over doing a vacuum cleaner presentation. Noah and Mary wanted to buy the thing, but Noah didn't have enough money to fork over for it. But that didn't instantly mean it was hopeless, because they had this program. You could work, if you wanted to get in the program for 3 months and do so many presentations of the thing yourself, and all you had to do was sell one, and they'd give you one for free. So I was like, So Noah was thinking about it, hemming and hawing, going back and forth a little bit. And then Chet said something that I'd been thinking about for a couple days. He said, "It's really not that bad. All you have to do is decide that you will, and then do it. It just takes a little bit of effort and work. Just got to decide." You know what he said in Bible language? You got to prepare your heart. And you realize, think about Ezra in Babylon. He said, "For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments." To effectively teach God's word, you have to first live it. To live God's word, you have to have first You need to have sought it. To seek God's word, you have to have a prepared heart. Ezra prepared his heart. He traveled to Jerusalem from Babylon. He sought the word of God and he taught the word of God. And that's what we need today. That's what we're lacking. It's people who are willing to prepare their heart, to think about it, to think about the cost that it will be, and say, "I will pay that price. I will do it. I will seek the Word of God. I will live it, and then I will teach it." We need an army of men and women who will do these three things. Prepare yourself, seek the Word, Sorry, this is four things. Prepare yourself, seek the word, do what it says, and teach others. One of the greatest errors of today, one of the wants of the times that's unmatched, is just simply looseness in every area of life. No standards, nothing matters. We've become accustomed to it. And we need to get back to the Word. It's the only way that our eyes will adjust to the light again, is if we put them on the pages of this book. Let's pray. Our Father, we pray that you would be merciful to us. We have become so accustomed to sin. We've become so desensitized. Father, we pray that you would revive us. Open our eyes to see just how sinful sin is. Let us realize how much you hate the smallest sin. Father, give us the courage to stand up and boldly preach the truth. Give us willing hearts to bear the reproach. I pray that you'll be with each one of us as we part now. Help us to prepare our hearts, to seek your word, to do it and to teach it. Be with us again for the next hour. Father, be with us this afternoon and evening. Help us to glorify you in everything that we do. Amen.